Hi, this is the February 19, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for Grade 4. I'm Chris Radio volunteer Karen Finnegan. On the front cover is a photo of a little boy with headphones on, making a grimacing face. And the headline reads, "Turn it down. Are your headphones or earbuds damaging your hearing?" You may not realize it, but your headphones or earbuds could be harming your hearing. As you hear this article, think about how can you make sure the volume on your headphones or earbuds is at a safe level. Words to know. Exposed. Verb, past tense. Left without protection from danger or harm. Prolonged. Adjective. Continuing for a long time. You've likely worn headphones more times than you can count. You might wear them when you listen to music, play games, or watch YouTube. But it may be time to turn down the volume. A study released in 2022 found that more than 1 billion teens and young adults worldwide could be at risk of hearing loss. One main reason is the use of headphones and earbuds, which have become more popular over time. Meanwhile, doctors say they've seen an increase in hearing damage among younger people. Still, many kids think they don't need to worry about protecting their hearing. One myth about hearing loss is that only older people like grandma and grandpa get it. That's not the case, explains Michelle DiStefano. She's a doctor at the Center for Hearing and Communication in New York City. DiStefano and other experts say there are some simple steps you can take to help protect your ears. Too loud, too long. Even if you don't crank up the volume to the highest level, there's still a good chance you're playing your music or video games too loudly. DiStefano warns that the louder the sound, the less time you should be exposed to it. Sound is measured in units called decibels. Experts say listening to any sound louder than 85 decibels for prolonged periods can cause hearing damage. The 2022 study showed that it's common for young people to listen to smartphones and other devices at 105 decibels. Listening to sounds that loud for even a few minutes a day can harm your ears. Doctors point out that for many people, hearing loss happens slowly over time, so they don't often realize there's a problem until it's too late. And noise-related hearing loss can be permanent. Sound advice. There is some good news, though. You can often prevent hearing damage. Doctors say a good way to avoid problems is to be smart about using headphones and earbuds. Here are some tips. Ask a friend. If somebody else can hear your music from your headphones, then that means it's too loud, explains DiStefano. Check your settings. Many devices allow you to set your headphones to a certain level. On an iPhone, for example, the volume can be set to not go above 75 decibels. They can also notify you if the sound is too loud for too long. A parent can help you find these settings. Find the right fit. Earbuds and headphones that fit snugly will limit outside noise. That will allow you to hear your music better at lower volumes. Take a break. Like every other part of your body, your ears need rest. DiStefano suggests using what's called the 60-60 rule. Play your device at or below 60% of maximum volume for no more than 60 minutes per day. Then let your ears enjoy the quiet. Sound check. This chart shows the decibel, dB, levels of some common sounds. 140 dB, a jet aircraft taking off from 100 feet away. 120 dB, a nearby siren. 110 dB, maximum volume on a smartphone. 100 dB, football game in a stadium. 85 dB is a risk of hearing damage starts here. 80 dB, a hairdryer. 60 dB, normal conversation, and 30 dB, a soft whisper. World history, an ancient army. 50 years ago, archaeologists uncovered an army of clay soldiers in China. Are there more secrets to be found? As you hear this article, think about why was the discovery of the terracotta warriors so important? Words to know. Legacy, noun, the lasting impact of a person or thing. Painstaking, adjective, requiring great care and effort. Yang Jifa's shovel hit something hard. It was March 1974. The farmer was digging a well in an orchard in central China. He looked down to find that he had struck a piece of clay that looked like a man's head. Yang didn't know it yet, but he had just made one of the greatest archaeological discoveries of all time. Yang had found a statue of a life-size soldier made of terracotta or baked clay. It turned out to be the first of many. Over the next few decades, archaeologists would uncover an entire army of terracotta warriors in the area. Experts were amazed at how detailed the statues were. No two looked exactly alike. The army, which dates back more than 2,200 years, was buried in huge pits. The soldiers appeared to be preparing for battle, some on horses and chariots. They're an incredible record of what an army would have looked like, historian Jessica Rawson says. She's a professor at the University of Oxford in England. Rawson saw the statues up close in 1975 and has visited the site several times since. 50 years after the discovery, researchers say the warriors still hold many secrets. A fierce leader. The statues were found near the tomb of the first emperor of China, Qin Shun Huangdi. He came to power in 246 BC after his father died. Qin was just 13 years old at the time. People came to fear Qin, who was a ruthless leader. Within 25 years, he had conquered 6 rival kingdoms, uniting China for the first time. He created a massive army to control and protect his empire. Qin was obsessed with his legacy. He believed he would rule even in the afterlife. So he ordered about 700,000 workers to build a huge underground palace where he would be buried when he died. It took more than 30 years to build. The burial site spans about 22 square miles, an area about the size of the island of Manhattan in New York City. It is one of the biggest and most important in the world, explains Rawson. The burial site includes several pits where Qin's second army, the one made of clay, stood. Each soldier is about 6 feet tall and weighs about 600 pounds. These warriors were meant to guard the tomb and protect Qin in the afterlife. Pieces of the past. For more than 2,200 years, Qin's terracotta army remained hidden underground. Many of the statues were found in pieces. Fragments of different statues ended up together in piles. Archaeologists took on the painstaking job of putting each one back together without a guide for what the figures originally looked like. More than 2,000 of Qin's clay soldiers have been excavated or dug up so far. But the work is far from done. Archaeologists believe there are about 8,000 statues in all. So they could be uncovering the secrets of the terracotta warriors for years to come. Forever on guard. The statues were once brightly painted. Some of the paint had worn off, and some of it quickly flaked away as the statue was dug up. Experts now apply a special chemical to preserve as much of the paint as possible. Some researchers believe the terracotta warriors were modeled after real-life soldiers in Qin's army. Sculptors carved each statue's unique face and hairstyle by hand. Most of the terracotta soldiers were suits of armor, and many of them held bronze weapons. I'm turning 3. The odds of being born on February 29 are 1 in 1,461. Caroline Conrad was born 12 years ago, but this will be only the third year she's had a real birthday. How is that possible? She was born on February 29, a date that comes around just once every 4 years. Caroline was born in 2012. It was a leap year, when February has 29 days instead of its usual 28. Why the extra day? A year is based on the time Earth takes to orbit the Sun. Most years on our calendar are 365 days long, but it actually takes 365 days plus another 6 hours for Earth to make its full rotation around the Sun. Every 4 years, those 6 hours add up to one extra day, and that day is added to the end of February, the shortest month. Most years, Caroline and her family choose a random day in February or March for a small birthday celebration. But the sixth grader from Connecticut makes bigger plans when a leap year comes along. This year, Caroline plans to celebrate by going to a rodeo with her friends. It's rare to have a leap day birthday, Caroline explains. We like to do something extra special when February 29 is actually on the calendar. Picture this. In the photo, there's a bridge that is made up of 3 sides, but they're wavy, and they all meet on either end. This bridge may look like something from a movie, but it's real. The Rui Bridge in the city of Taizhou in China is made of 3 wavy paths. The bridge connects 2 cliffs that are more than 300 feet apart. It hangs 460 feet above a canyon. That's more than 150 feet higher than the top of the Statue of Liberty. Daring visitors can step onto a deck with a glass floor to get a full view of the canyon below. Debate it. Should schools teach cursive? Nicholas Issa from New Jersey says yes. We learn cursive at my school. I think it's fun. It's easier and faster than writing in print because I don't have to lift my pencil off the paper as often. I also find it easier than typing. Writing in cursive helps me focus. Some studies have found that learning to write in cursive improves your memory and helps you perform better in school. My handwriting also looks nicer when it's in cursive. Nora Myers says no. She's from Ohio. I learned cursive in school, but I never use it. In fact, the only people I know who write in cursive are my teacher and my grandparents. It's much easier to read handwritten print or something that has been typed on a computer. Learning to type on a keyboard should be more of a focus in the classroom because everything is becoming more digital. It's a skill that we'll need much more for our future jobs. Learning to write in cursive used to be as common as learning to read or write. But today, this flowing form of handwriting looks like a foreign language to many kids. Lawmakers in California want to change that. Starting next school year, all public schools there will be required to teach cursive to students from 5th to 6th grades. Starting next school year, all public schools there will be required to teach cursive to students from 1st to 6th grade. California is joining 21 other states that have similar laws. Many people think it's important to learn cursive, also known as script. They point out that kids need to know it to sign their names and to read historical documents like the U.S. Constitution. But others say cursive is outdated. They argue that teachers should focus on subjects like math and reading instead. On the last page, there's an infographic about sound vibrations. You might want to ask your parent, teacher, or guardian to help you with the questions related to it. There are also questions related to the rest of the issue that you can ask for help with. That completes the February 19, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for Grade 4. I'm Karen Finnegan. So long until next time.